I felt this week that the Lord actually wanted to zero in on the person, the individual, specifically tonight. So what I'll be sharing on is dancing with God and what that looks like. So yeah, it's funny that it's Father's Day as well. It's actually been something I've been feeling for the last while. But just really just adjusting our lenses and actually seeing God as a Father who delights in us. And I think what I'm going to zero in on specifically is the person, the individual. And I'm really trusting that even in the message that there'd be something in our hearts that would actually realize who he is to us and who he wants us to be in him. So 4 points that I have is adjusting our lenses to see him. The second one is the spirit of adoption. The third one is relationship and intimacy. And the last one is how to draw near to him. I'll start off with a question. And the question is, who likes tsukiki? Okay, got a few people. But I think when we're tsukiking, we need to realize that there's someone who pursues and there's someone who has to respond. And I think it's such a beautiful picture of dancing with God, because what he does is he fetches us. Just prepping in the week, I was just thinking about being at a tsukiki or whatever the case is, and there's this amazing person, super cool guy, tall, sharp, like just this solid guy. And then there's a girl in the corner with tuna on her dress, and her dress looks like a curtain, and her makeup doesn't make any sense. And just not happening. And what he does is he goes out and he finds her in the corner. And I think a lot of the time that's actually what we feel, that we firstly don't feel worthy. But secondly, even when he comes, we struggle to respond. I'm just going to ask that the Lord comes and changes a few things just in how we see him and in how we relate with him. And I think sometimes we even see the lens or see through the lens of tradition and even our fathers on earth. And if there's a distorted view of that, there's always going to be a distorted view of how we see him. And I'm trusting that he would come and restore that in his way, because ultimately, it's not what I've experienced or what you've experienced, but it's actually what his design is. And that blueprint is that he wants relationship with us, and he wants intimacy. I'm going to start with scripture, because apparently that's always a good thing, good place to start. 1 John 4, verse 9 to 11. It says, "This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent this one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." I just want to zoom in on that. I can't imagine giving my son away or my daughter away. Like, I'm not a father. But I cannot imagine being able to give my son or my daughter away. Never mind for people who might never love me or turn to me or never obey me. But to actually a broken people who despise me. In verse 10 it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And I think a lot of it, we forget that it's actually costly. It's costly for God to give his son to us. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't a free thing like, yes, send my son down and he'll pay for everything. But actually, we need to realize that in Jesus dying on the cross, that was perfection. That was a reflection of who he is. And he said, "My boy, I'm going to send him down and I'm going to allow him to die for you because I want relationship with you as an individual, as Lorinda, as Mikey, as Luke." And I think in the world, it's so, I don't know how much it happens now, but I think there's so much of, "I'm great, I'm amazing, I'm perfect." The world thinks we are the greatest people who've ever walked. And I think there is often quite a narrow view of who we actually are, or maybe even a denial of who we actually are. And I think that's recognizing our brokenness and our sin before perfect maker who's righteous. I think we're going to talk a lot about love, but we need to realize that he's righteous and that he's strong and that he's powerful and he despises sin. But still, in his great mercy, he comes and he wants to pour his love out for us. Romans 8, verse 7 says, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God." It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So even if we wanted to, even if we wanted to obey God, even if we wanted to please him, in our inner nature, in our brokenness, there's nothing that can actually be acceptable to him because of our stiffness, because of our brokenness. In verse 8, it says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Yeah. And I think it's when we see this that, shucks, there's nothing on earth that I can do. There's nothing I can present. Where the world might say, I'm this amazing person, I need to firstly see these lenses, fix my eyes, get a mirror properly, and actually see myself for what I am. And I think as I see myself who I am, there's a need for a great father, a father who's reaching out, who's looking for me in that corner, in that room with my tuna stains. And he comes and he says, my boy, my girl, I want a relationship with you. And I think even just realizing that we are enemies of God, because I think sometimes, I remember when I was growing up, I'd make mistakes, but my parents would say it's an oopsie. Like, either tell a white lie or disrespect them, and it's an oopsie. But actually realizing that we were enemies, there was an intrinsic nature or bending to actually not please him. But again, I think this thing of coming back and saying that he's going to restore us and he picks us. And I think for a lot of us, we'd ask why, because I wouldn't look for that kind of person in my life. Like, I wouldn't, I don't think any one of us could. I think intrinsically we're selfish and we want to be around people who can make us feel better about ourselves, who can make our lives better in some way, shape, or form. But I think the biggest thing is that he wanted a relationship with us. And he saw past our brokenness, actually, which is so, so cool. And I think even just what I mentioned earlier, just making much of the one as opposed to the group. Because I think if we look at the group, I think very easily we could say, well, God died for Josh Jen, or he sent his son down for Josh Jen holistically. But I think very easily we remove ourselves from that equation. So it feels like it's not actually completely for me. He doesn't completely know me, or he doesn't completely love me. And I think, again, fixing that thing on understanding that you as a person, you are known by him and you're loved by him and you delight in him. I think I've probably struggled with that quite a bit, actually, in my life, is feeling like I almost need to atone for his love or his favor, and actually realizing that I can't, that even if I try, there's nothing within myself that can actually do that. And this, just in prepping, I was reading up on adoption and what that looks like, specifically in South Africa. People don't just decide one day, I want a child, I want to help, I have enough money, and that's the process. It's tiresome, difficult. I don't know in all cases, but I know it's not an easy thing. And you need to be fully spent as a parent to say, I am going to bring this child into my family who, for whatever reason, might be on the outskirts, but drawing them close and saying, I'm going to choose. There's often issues, actually, where people, where children have struggled with actually abandonment. And I think even in that process of starting and these background checks, and there's just a long process of actually getting this child into your home. And once that starts, it's not like it's done. It's a continuous process of redeeming us, which I think is a beautiful thing, because that's what he does with us. He brought us in and he's adopted us. And now we're called sons and daughters. Sure. And I actually just want to share a bit about our response to him, because I think to Soki, to dance, you need two people who are willing. I think maybe at the start, for some of us, we have God knocking on our hearts and we're living in rebellion, and we actually don't want to be in a relationship with him. But at some point, we have to give in, or we choose to give in, because it says that his grace and his love leads us to repentance. So there's something of his heart and his character that bends me in such a way that I can't help but respond to it. And I think just the intimacy part, I remember, I think it was 2017, Brad Verena preached about being the bride of Christ. And I remember him saying, all the men here are going to struggle quite a bit. But actually being weak before him is so, so cool. And I found that actually in a place of weakness and in understanding that outside of him I'm nothing, that's actually when I'm most satisfied in him. Because I think when we feel like we can add something to the table, we can bring something to the table, actually we fall short so much. But actually understanding that, yo, there's so much love, there's so much grace, I can dance with them, I can fellowship with them. I love looking at little kids and their parents and how they smile, and there's just such a freeness to be able to be around their parents and to know that their parents are going to be there for them and love them and carry them and protect them. And they're not confused at all about that. And I trust that more and more that would be something in our hearts that we can trust the Lord. I know in different areas we, I think, struggle quite a bit with trusting the Lord because we've got our own plans and we think we know how things are supposed to be, but a lot of the time we don't. And I'm trusting that even as we continue just to live this life surrendered to him, that there'd be something of a yielding of trust and saying, Lord, I actually don't know what's best. And even if I think I do, I'll yield to that. I'll bend myself. I'll make myself clay before him so that whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to purify or fix or make actually something beautiful that I can't do in myself, that I allow him to do that. And that's actually such a delight for him to do that. I was chatting to Ella, I think it was a week or two ago, and she was just talking about she's a relationship with Vian and just like the initial process of getting to know each other and how exciting it is and how cool it is and the butterflies and just spending time with the person. Like, that's all you want to do. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's just that I get to spend time with this person. And I think it's so cool that even in our quiet times, when we spend time with the Lord, we can very, I think for me, I've definitely gotten into the habit of sitting down. How's it, Lord? It's going like a, what do you want to change in me? Cool. Like, okay, check you tomorrow, same time, same place. But no, like there's so much more than that. Like, there's questions I can ask him. There's things that he knows about me that he wants to tweak. There's so much life in knowing him, in spending time with him, in being changed and being renewed in him. And I found this quite interesting over the last couple of years, is actually dancing with him. But like actually dancing, not figuratively. Actually dancing with him. I know if any person sees what I'm doing in my room, I close the curtains usually because I might just scare a few people. But it looks terrible. It really does look terrible. But I know, I feel like it moves his heart. I feel like it moves his heart, and I feel so, so close and intimate with him because I know he's a father, and I know that he's desperate to have me and that he delights in me. And it's not only me. It's not only me just wanting to get to know him, but it's actually his heart, firstly, who came out and he pursued me. And as I yielded and as I bended and as I've come into shape, there's a response in my heart that automatically comes more and more. But I think sometimes you kind of get used to it. It's like, I've experienced God, or it's not how it was at first. You know, I think about, you know, just being a boykey in grade 8 when I first fell in love with Jesus. And I struggle with the cold so much. I really suckle. But it was, yeah, the cold, yeah. She knows this. No, not the cult. The cold. So I was in PE. No heresy here. I was in PE in my grade 8 year, and I was in hostel, and I remember just being so, so, so consumed by the love of God that I think it was 9 o'clock on a Friday night when everyone was doing lack of stuff. And I'm like, yo, I just want to go spend time with God in the fields. But I remember in my flesh, it was like, bro, you are not schmarking this at all. But in my heart, it was just such an excitement just to meet with him and to delight in him. And I think that's not supposed to end. Yes, we mature. We stop becoming toddlers and we grow up. And there's beauty in that. But we should never forget that initial time when we fell in love with him, that first time when we were dancing before him, when we didn't care what other people said or thought about us. And I think maybe even just to challenge us, if we've never had that thing of, yo, Lord, I've become consumed by who he is in such a way that I've completely left my identity. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm completely sold out. There's still space to do that. And there's always going to be space to do that. But I think it's in that process of continuing to keep that fire burning. So I think as humans, sometimes you're like, oh, the spark's gone. You know, it's done. Like, I don't know. It's kind of, there's a dry patch and everything's going wrong. Or I'm really struggling to see in my quiet times. But I think even our approach and how we spend time with him, and I think quiet times are an amazing thing, and I think there's a discipline to it. But throughout the day in a relationship, I'm just thinking in a marriage, Lynn, Warren, if you guys only saw each other one time in the day in the morning for an hour and kind of just ended at that and said, we've spent time together, I don't know how good your marriage would be, but it's this constant communication, this dance, there's a beauty to it that we get to experience with God. And I really believe that his heart is to be with us and to encounter us in that way and to have relationship with us and laugh with us. Like, I used to struggle with these concepts, like, yo, how can you laugh with God, or how can you cry with God? Like, is God funny? Like, I don't know. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true and proper worship. And again, it's this offering. In the first verse, just offering ourselves, it's an action that we need to choose. I am going to offer myself to Luke. I'm not going to just wait for him to come. And I know he does that. But again, it is relationship that we don't just look over his head, over each other's shoulders as soon as we get just familiar with each other and relationship with each other, that we lose that spark and we lose that intimacy. And I think that's kind of just why I mentioned that the quiet time isn't the only place where we get to commune and spend time with him. And I think that's basically the main thing, is that, that there's such a desperation for him to meet with us. There's a scripture in Psalm 100 and 1 to 5. I'll just ask Orky to put that up quickly. It says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, and enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name forever. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And I think we read that, we're like, oh, cool. But I'm like, if I actually read it, how I imagine David would have wrote this. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. What does that look like? Like, this is an approach, like, I'm approaching God with gladness, with an excitement, with a hunger, with a burning. Know that the Lord is good. Do I know that? Like, truly, I think we can ask ourselves, like, do I know that God is good? Or have I just become used to what everyone says about him? That I know about him because of every other person's experience, but I actually haven't seen that or experienced that in my own life. It is he who made us, and we are his. Is there a recognition in my heart that I belong to God? Like, that I know that he is my father. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, and we enter his gates with thanksgiving. When you come into this room, is there something of a recognition that God has done so much for me, that there's a thanksgiving, like there's a gratefulness, there's a sincerity in all that the Lord has done? And I think even it's good to look back a lot of the time and look at our journals, look at what he's done in our lives, and because I think sometimes we easily forget these things. Give thanks to him and praise his name. How does it look like for us when we get, I don't know what people love. Like, I'll tell you, if I got a Porsche 911 parked outside and they say, Nix, it's yours, like, bro, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to go mull. And I think for every single person, it's different. But like, when we see God, is that the same thing? I love watching rugby with the boys. And it's just like, it looks like worship. But it's to something completely, completely different. And I think in our hearts, there should be something that far supersedes anything the world can offer. Because that's generally what what we see or what we've actually made ourselves realize. And then verse 5 says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And I think, again, it just goes back to if we don't choose to ask him and we don't draw near to him, then we're never going to experience him. We'll only just hear about him. Oh, there's this guy who is pursuing me and apparently he's a really awesome person. That's kind of how it looks like in a Sorky setting. But I think in realizing, shucks, he's here for me and he wants me. And a couple of weeks ago, I was crying on my way to work, but I was listening to a song. I don't cry a lot. But I was listening to a song. It's by Bobby Carlyle. It's called Butterfly Kisses. And it basically draws this picture of this man who has a daughter, and she grows up, or she's a toddler at some stage, and she's giving him these butterfly kisses. I can't use it. I can't do it now because of the mic. But you know what a butterfly kiss is. And it's just this cute little picture of this daughter who's so madly in love with her dad, and whose prayers are really cute. And then she grows up and she starts wearing makeup, and she's becoming a little woman. She's got a bit of an attitude, and he's been there in that process. And on this day specifically, he's giving her over to another man. And just, realizing that he has prepared her all this time for that moment, for that time. And I think there's so much beauty in that, that there's a preparation process that he's currently doing with us, that on some day will be presented to him. And actually that we shouldn't neglect that time. We shouldn't neglect where we are currently, always looking towards the next thing, but actually really being present in what the Lord's doing in this current season. Because, I mean, most of us are students, some a bit older. Eden's a bit younger than us. but this is where the Lord has placed you. And I think if we aren't excited about the season that we're in, then we're actually going to miss something. And I'm trusting that where we are currently, like, let's trust the Lord. Let's trust the Lord for amazing encounters with him. That it wouldn't just be at a conference or at a community or when Skalk and Ingrid come, that we have encounters with God. But actually in your quiet time, in your office, in your car, wherever you are, you can experience him intimately, and that you can know him and be known by him. And I think another beautiful thing is that people see that from you. People see that smile on your face. They see that you look different, that you don't look like the world. And I think if there's something hidden, I think we're seeing treasure in the field, if there's something that's hidden in my heart that's a treasure, and I want to share it with other people, I want people to know that they can actually experience this, because I treasure this more than anything else. There's nothing better that I can experience. And I know that that's been quite challenging for me in the past, that if I'm not able to share who God is in my life, then do I actually treasure him in the way that I should? So I'm just going to pray and just ask that the Lord would do that. Yeah, Jesus, we just want to honor you for who you are, Jesus. We thank you that this is such a simple message, so simple, that I think we often overlook just your desire to be with us. And we constantly focus on where we should do better and how we should be running or how everyone else is running, but actually forgetting that, Lord, you want us as individuals, as me, as Nico, as Warren, as Lynn. And you see us, Father, for who we are. And you draw us close, Father. We thank you that you've been so faithful in drawing us close to you, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that as you draw close to us, that we draw near to you, Lord. Oh, Father, and I just pray even over the next couple of weeks where people are still writing or people are going to be going away, Lord, I pray that, Jesus, there'd be fruitful times with you, Jesus, times of growth, times of dancing, times of singing, times of rejoicing in you, Lord. And that we know, Father, you're a serious God, you're a righteous God. But, Lord, we thank you that you're so beautiful as well, Jesus, that you... Yeah, you zero in on the small things and you see the small things and you delight in the small things as well. So yeah, Lord, we pray that you'd come and do that again, just even in this room. Yeah, just in a fresh and a beautiful way.